I'm speaking with Vajra, who is often referred to as the prima ballerina of dance in Sri Lanka, Vajra. Perhaps a good place to start as any is, if I could take you back down memory lane, to when you began to first dance. When was that? And why did dance, in a sense, become your life? How did it begin?
Actually, the whole idea of my taking dancing as a career was my mother's idea. And I learned dancing in schools before I joined Chitrasena. In the sense that when at the time that I went to school, the dancing was a subject in the school. So under various teachers, I have also studied dance under different people. Then one fine day, somehow or other, really I know what time the Chitra came into our family. When I was quite small.
This was before the 30s,
yeah. During the 30s, yeah. Maybe in the 40s.
Yeah, yeah.
He came to Kalutara to take classes, take a class with whoever was, interested young people in Kalutara wanted to learn under him. So at the time that he came, he has been talking about Shantiniketan and how the atmosphere and whatever. That time, Tagore's visit to Sri Lanka and all. And my mother somehow or other thought that I should pursue that line. So she sent me to Sri Pali. Sri Pali was started by one Mr. Wilmot Perera, who also had been in Shantiniketan and during the time of Tagore. So that was must have been the best period of Shantiniketan. And since he started and there was music and dance in the school, she sent me there. So I was there for a short time, and at that time I may have been about 11 or 12 years. Mm. And I somehow, when I was taken there also, it was like taking me through rubber estates and all that. And my grandmother also traveled somewhere in that vehicle. And she said, I don't know where you all are taking this child. And she was very unhappy. And like that, I didn't like the people who really was my dance teacher and didn't like the way he conducted himself. Mm. So I, he was like any of these people who come to drum for us in those days.
Yeah.
Nichikonde and, oh, he was like Bharatamaina. Bharatamaina, they say was people who cut hair and short. I don't know, that must have been started by Chitra himself.
Yeah.
The style was for males to have long hair up to their ears.
Mm.
And these people, these drummers also were like that, and they were not real teachers. So, but they knew to play the drum, and he was the dance teacher there at that time. So I was not very happy, and after about an year, I said I can't go there. So I was brought back to Kalutara where there was my school. I was studying at Balika Vidyale, maybe in the 7th standard or something. Then after that, again I went under very different teachers of dancing. I started to learn under one Mr. Anangalala Tukorale. And also after him, there's somebody else, one Mr. Velgama. So I went under so many teachers, but I never had a liking for dancing. So later on, as my parents got to know Chitrasena, and he was quite different, no? He was somebody who had brought dance to the stage even at that time. So his connection with stagecraft was much more advanced, and he was presenting real theater even at that time with lights and music composed for especially for the stories that he created. And so Chitrasena started to teach us in Kalutara itself. And later on, when my sister was doing higher studies, she came to Pembroke. And during that time, we had only Chitrasena's house that we knew people in Colombo. So mommy wanted my sister to stay there and pursue her studies. So after some time, when during the later periods, I was dancing in the concerts, and everyone thought that I was outstanding. And so they all thought that I should also pursue this and make it my career, my principal, and various other people, whoever saw me. So then I was also sent to Chitrasena's house. So from there, of course, I was always under him. And he was the one who guided me after that for my stage career. So don't let me talk so far.
No, so I think it's important to capture. I mean, in terms of those early years, and also later on when you became a professional dancer, also a renowned dancer alongside Chitrasena, I wonder, Vajra, who your sources of inspiration were, apart from, of course, Chitrasena himself. Were there contemporaries in also other art forms, in music, in theatre, along with dance, both locally and internationally, who inspired you to kind of create your own dance form?
I was made to study music also, and so I had a sort of a liking for music. And then slowly, after I came to Chitrasena, he is the one who, as you said, he was my inspiration to perform on stage. Mm. And the various characters that I portrayed at that time, I started to show off that that I was capable of interpreting whatever music or whatever character that was given to me in a constructive way, I suppose.
Mm. Which was your own.
Yeah, which was, of course, later on when I was old enough, become adult, and Chitra gave me the main role in certain things, a ballet called Chandali, where I played the main role. That was also Tagore's story, where Ananda came to ask for water. And the Chandala woman who gave water. So that story, I was portraying the daughter of the Chandala woman. Mm. So in that program, Chitrasena also gave me chances to do my own creations with the children. Mm. So I started creating small dances for the children. Of course, there was always artists in Chitrasena's house staying there, like Anand Samarkon. Anand Samarkon, There was one L.V. Tigala and Lionel Algama, Amaradeva, Sunil Shanti. Mm-hmm. And all these artists were also part of Chittasena's house. All the artists started their lives with him, really. Whenever they came from India, first thing they came and landed themselves at Chitra's house. And there was a separate place for these people, and we were in a separate place. It's a huge house. So the house could be divided to two parts. And there was one nice hall where we were able to dance. So in those times, I was listening to Anand Samarkand's songs, and one of those inspired me to do a thing called Kumudini, where the sun and the moon and this flower. The flower blooms in the night and closes during the day. So that kind of dialogue sort of inspired me to have a story for children. So that was my first ballet. And it went as part of the Chandali program. When I did the main role for Chandali, but same time there was my creation also within that program. So like that, after whatever Chittasena had any programs like for the public, there was always my creation also in it. So that means that he gave me chances to slowly build up my
blossom. Your first Ginihora was in 1968.
That was much later.
Yeah, but that was your first full.
No, that one was now. Normally, you say that ballet is story in dance form. That is to say that anga chalane. Anga chalane in katandaya prakash karanai kiyala tamai mudra natya was defined like that. So Ginihora was one ballet that came out without a single song. So that means you have to give the idea in dance only. So that was the real sort of first production that came out without any expression with words.
And this was your production?
Yes.
Yes. And then the last one was the Dance of Shiva.
Dance of Shiva. Shiva. Those are much later.
Much later. Yeah, yeah.
After I had got a lot of experience in creating movement for others, and also how to tell a story in dance.
Yeah.
Anyway, Shiva's story was also Chitra. Whenever we were traveling together in the car, he always played a piece of music of Ravi Shankar's, and always told me I must portray a ballet with the sitar as the object, the main object, and it should be around the sitar, because he was very fond of this Ravi Shankar's music. So I am always listening, and we are going in this car, but I somehow thought that to have a full-length ballet, like 2 hours or so, it was difficult with the sitar only, because there is not a character where you can portray human emotions, no? So I started reading this, what are those colored books that all children read?
Cartoon? Coloring books?
Picture books?
Picture books.
With little words.
Okay.
Like that, I got hold of a lot of Indian stories.
Yeah.
Like Shiva and Parvati and...
Like illustrated stories. Illustrated,
with pictures and all.
Yeah.
And out of that, there was a thing called Shiva and Sati. Yeah, Sati in the was, I don't know, to show her purity, she jumped into the fire, and then, of course, nothing happened to her.
Yeah.
So that story, that struck me. I thought that I can portray that kind of thing with emotions and so many characters. And then Ravi and Channa were both my students at that time. They were in the Kalayatane and I used to be teaching them. So there was, and also the idea that Upeka should come out now, because I have been dancing for so long as the main dancer. And we thought that she had Blossom to come out on her own in the main characters. So then I found this story fitted the three of them.
Mm.
So that's how Shivaranga came out. And it was a great success. And of course, Chitra gave me all the stagecraft that is the... Also, Somabandhu was always behind all my ballets, and he's the one who created the background atmosphere for the telling of the story. That's important, that whatever is on stage at that time, the props, the scenery, and whatever added to giving the story out. So, Somabandhu's decor and costumes... and music of Ravi Shankar,
yeah.
And the dance of all these, they were all at that time quite dancing quite well. So it suited them and it was a great success.
You now, you're 78 now.
Yes.
And what, well over half a century of dance, actively
yeah.
participating, but also witnessing Vajra. When you look at from all those, I mean, that wealth of experience that you have, when you take a look at Sri Lankan dance today, what do you see? Is it, has it blossomed? Has it grown? Are there more people dancing professionally today? Are you
yes.
happy with the way dance has evolved? Do you wish that there could be more done by the gurus or the state or by...
of course, the state can always never supported us.
Yeah.
So we didn't have state support, but the educational system has allowed children to learn dance, music, and all those aesthetic stuff subjects. They have a chance to pursue it to higher levels. And
more than your time.
More than my time.
Yeah.
And then there's the University of Aesthetic Studies where they can take a degree of that. So everyone wants some kind of paper degree
yeah.
To... because most of them didn't have the chance to go on stage like us. Because Chitrasena is the one who always had the stage performances. From the time I was a child, he was the one who had most of the performing arts on the stage. So all the others never came up to that standard. And so there were much more women taking up. Their males were not taking up because I suppose that didn't help to finance their lives. So there were less males. And more females take into dancing. So, and also, I think I created the style for the women.
Mm.
I learned the male dance because the Kandyan dance is a male dance.
Mm.
Only males dance at the time that I started.
And you transformed the Gajaga Vannama
yes,
as well to
yeah,
female form.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, all those Gajaga Vannama, Ukusa Vannama, all those things were... sort of created for the stage. So otherwise, they would sing and dance. You know, the whole time, somebody is singing and the dancers didn't depict anything. They didn't sort of portray the character of the elephant or a bird. Or there was no...
But just on that point, Vajra, you said that the aesthetic studies departments of various universities now offer degrees, but I wanted to ask you the question, is a degree what dance means to you?
No.
And if not, what does dance really mean to you?
For me, I was brought up in such a way that that one has to dedicate one's life to bring out whatever artistry that is there in the dance, or to do what we have done, to portray stories and bring it to the public. And then also every time that some dancer visited our country from India, they were also sort of inspiration in the sense that not only the Eastern, even the Western dancers. I have seen Martha Graham. And I think from Martha Graham, I have been inspired to do certain things on the floor, and then the second stage in sitting positions, the kneeling positions. It then comes to normal people's way of standing and all that. So those three levels of dance was introduced by Martha Graham to our country when she visited Sri Lanka. So not that I had communication with her, but seeing those things, and also all the time Chitra used to give me nice books about Nijinsky and the famous dancers of the West, and how they created, and how Nijinsky jumped, and people thought that he was staying in the air for so long, and things like that I have been reading. So reading the lives of great artists, those all inspired me to become what I wanted to, I mean, to portray dance in the form of giving meaning to it. And of course, that was Chitra's subject as well. I mean, he's the one who pursued that to that level, and then brought us up to follow the same style of giving meaning to movement. So with all these experiences, seeing other dancers, my creations and my the style of teaching in the school and all those things developed into now in our syllabuses we have flow exercises all set so that the whole school can, the teachers can follow them. Then sitting exercises, kneeling exercises, then with the bar. And also, nobody now takes to the bar because no one knows about the bar in Sri Lanka. In the villages, they did. My Guru Nanak's house, there was a bar always there, sort of constructed as a piece of furniture in the house. In the garden, they had a ericana tree across like that, and two stands, and at that level for children, this position, the square position that we have in the dance, so that when you bend your knees, you come to the level of the bar. And that is our main position for the Kandyan dance. So those things also, somehow or other, I put into certain order, where my, whoever is now our dance teachers, they can all follow. Then I took all the turns and jumps and things that were there in the Kandyan dance and made them also into an order so that we have all the kinds of jumps and turns for children to learn as exercises. Then with the bar, I also turned the bar into another level, so that when you stand, you hold it and jump so that your legs can be corrected. So you are still holding on to a bar and jumping so that your legs can be placed in the way that we want them done. So all those things were not there when I started learning. And these things are the things that got evolved with my maturity.
Vajra, one often speaks and hears about Chitrasena's legacy to dance in Sri Lanka. All of what you have said, do you believe is your legacy? What is your legacy? What do you want people to remember you by? And what have you left for students to learn from? All of what you said were new.
Yes.
And by you.
Yes, putting this dance into order was my contribution.
What is your legacy, you feel, in your own words?
I have contributed to being recognized as a female dancer who has set standards for the stage where people have good models that any student can follow. And I created the style for the woman.
Mm. Mm.
So maybe since the younger generation also follow the same style, and they will remember me for the standards I set for them. And now I see that Thaji especially has imbibed all my qualities and my style of dance. But she has not seen me.
In fact, on that point, the last time you danced was in 2007 for your 75th, when they dragged you, onto stage. And
that is what Aishman almost,
that's right, yeah. But I mean, that's I mean, when you look at the Kala Yataneya today, and I mean, the hundreds of students who pass through these corridors, and you take a look at the future. You mentioned Thaji and imbibing her imbibing your style, your form, your experience as well.
Yeah, there. But
what is the future? I mean.
I mean, now I'm so happy that Aishma has started.
Yeah.
Her standard of choreography is above what we have done. The kind of changes she does. And it's really vibrant.
So you're happy with this?
Yes, of course I am.
Yeah.
I'm now happy that the three granddaughters will carry on Chitrasena's, whatever he started, his legacy, basically. More than my legacy, I am really attached to Chitrasena's legacy. So I am part of his legacy. And the three of them, I am quite happy that their standard of work is really high.
Where will you go from now? You are 78. You are still very active in the Kala Yataneya's training and basically a feature here.
Because I feel that
what you will obviously continue to be involved for the foreseeable future.
Yeah.
You will not retire into a cave in the Himalayas and meditate. Clearly not. I mean, you really do want to be involved in the Kala Yataneya's work and in dance.
I feel that even when I'm involved with the dance, my mind is all in this now.
Yes.
So,
yes.
Any other thoughts are like normal people, my thoughts are not like running house, or, you know. I have never been running house. So always my mother-in-law ran house when I was a young student. And even after I married, I stayed with them. So they just continued that. And now I am looked after by my son and my daughter-in-law. So I really don't have to think about what I'm going to eat next. So that's all provided. But I feel that Aishma has imbibed all my qualities of the way I work. And she likes me to be around her all the time. So that she can still take whatever I have with me, like dance, teaching of dancing, and whatever things that I am still participating in, classwork and all that. So she still wants me to be actively around. So that is a great... when one is wanted,
yes,
you want to live in this atmosphere. So I think the best thing is for me to just carry on the way I am doing till one day, of course, I will breathe my last. So I am satisfied with the work that is happening now.
Vajra, thank you very much.
Thank you for probing my mind.